John Gambadero, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show. Get more into the top story of the day coming up shortly as we're going into the 3 o'clock hour here. I'm looking up at ESPN right now. Mel Kiper, draft expert, is on talking about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray reportedly visiting with the Arizona Cardinals today. Gambo got that. Others are reporting that as well, and I promise we'll circle back to that news and find out what it means and any information we can glean about what's going on between Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. But boy, the Phoenix Suns, who mercifully their season comes to an end tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, looking at who...
Well, and I got the biggest question right now, and honestly, what happens to Igor Kokoschkov after this game is over?
Yes.
Is he the head coach of this team tomorrow?
Wow. Is Igor Kokoschkov
the head coach of this basketball team?
Because here's the thing. We've been so busy with everything around here. No excuses. This is our job. I don't know if I've devoted one second of thought to that in the last 2 weeks.
You should.
But I should. You're right. You're absolutely right. Just like we knew for Steve Wilks that when he was going into that final game that was it. We knew it, right? We don't know this the way we know that, but the question absolutely has to be asked.
Rookie coach who's going to have one of the worst records in the league. Second or third worst record in the league, depending. Does he survive with a new guy coming in? The general manager that hired him is no longer here. Does he get another year? And that's going to be the biggest question. I'll work on that all through the night tonight. Does he get another year, or is this it?
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. I don't. I think a lot of it, I think all of it, frankly, depends on how, and this is just me speculating here, on how James felt about Igor when he was hired. Because it was a Ryan McDonough hire, and if James is going to be the general manager of this team, one would presume that he would have the opportunity to hire the guy he would want as coach. If he's fine with Igor, maybe Igor stays. If he's not fine with Igor, then maybe Igor goes. I mean, I would think it would kind of come down to that. If James is the GM, and Igor wouldn't have been his first choice to be the coach, but, man, you keep changing coaches year after year after year. It becomes very problematic. It already is problematic for you as an organization when you're continually having a revolving door at that position.
Yes.
It's a problem with your perception.
But if you think you made a mistake and that he's not the right guy, then you obviously have to move on, right?
Yep, you do. Then there's the issue of the draft lottery going into tonight's games. Phoenix and Cleveland are tied with the second worst record. If they finish tied with the second worst record, it actually comes down to a coin flip to see who gets the second best odds and who gets the third best odds in the ping pong ball draft lottery, which I think is on May 14th or 17th.
Very likely there's going to be a flip of the coin.
Probably. They'll probably both lose, I would think. I mean, if you look at who the Suns are starting tonight, there's this story. And frankly, we were going to get to this yesterday, and man, things just kind of got out of control because we had a lot to talk about.
Let's get to it.
This Earl Watson story in which he is now claiming to the LA Times, now that he is done being paid from the Suns, they've paid him his $7.5 million, so now he's kind of starting to come out with a little bit more of the details about why he got fired and how he got fired. According to an article in the LA Times, quote, Watson revealed a new detail about his rocky tenure with the Suns, saying he was given a 2-week termination notice in training camp before the season even started. He said he knew he was going to be fired well before the team started 0-3 and they lost those games by 48 and 42 points. Watson, quote, I never addressed why I left with the Suns, and it wasn't because of our record. It was a rebuild and a rebuild around Devin Booker. When asked why Suns management would start a season with a lame duck coach, giving a lame duck coach 2 weeks notice before the season even started, hey, we're going to fire you after the start of the season, Watson responded, quote, that's a question you have to ask ownership. I was given notice in training camp. I was going to be out for sure. I was blown away, obviously. My personal conversation with ownership was very direct, very manly, very upfront, but I really believe this. It's the best thing that happened for both parties.
Wow. Okay. This is fascinating. So, there is obviously some truth to this and some non-truths to this. From what we have heard and learned, I do believe that There was some friction between Earl's agent and Robert Sarver and with the Eric Bledsoe situation and all of that thing. There was not everybody was on the same page. They had shut Bledsoe down. Bledsoe's agent, with 2 years remaining on his contract, wanted him to be treated like a king and wanted him to get a new deal. The Suns were not in agreement on giving him a new deal. The general manager was Ryan McDonough at the time, the owner Robert Sarver, and they had 2 years left on Bledsoe's contract and didn't feel like there was a need to give him a new deal. The agent really wanted a deal, so, you know, he pushed all the buttons to try to get him traded and things like that. And Earl was also represented by that agent. At some point, I do believe that there was probably Watson was probably told, you need to get rid of your agent. This guy's, you know, you need to get rid of your agent.
Because he and Eric Bledsoe were represented by the same agent.
Guy.
And again, this is, you know, August, September.
Rich Paul.
Yep. Going into the season where they lost those first three games and Earl Watson got fired after three games. So he and Eric Bledsoe are represented by the same agent.
Right.
The agent's trying to get a long-term deal for Bledsoe with 2 years left on the deal.
Which wasn't going to happen.
Suns say no. And
agent tries to get him traded, tries to stir the pot, probably told at some point, you know, somebody said something to Earl Watson, like, you got to get rid of this agent. He's got to go or you're not going to be able to stay here. Was anything ever put in writing like I think is claimed in the story? The answer is no. That is not true. There was never any ultimatum put in writing that you've got your 2 week notice. Here it is. You're getting fired in 2 weeks. There was nothing like that put in writing. It was probably something verbal that was said, but that never happened. That Earl was given a notice that you've got 2 weeks to go.
Here's an Earl Watson interview from October of 2018. So, what would that be? 6 months ago, right? 6 months ago, all right? In which he claims on Yahoo Sports he was given an ultimatum.
And you brought up your situation. You were let go of three games into the season last year?
Yeah, third game in, but I knew 2 weeks before that I had a two-week ultimatum or to either accept the ultimatum or eventually be let go. And I obviously chose to be let go.
Ultimatum?
Ultimatum. I'm not going to get into the details, but I knew I had 2 weeks, and for me, I couldn't do it. It was bigger than basketball for me.
Who was this ultimatum by?
The Suns, by ownership.
Okay. Is this something the team was aware of?
I mean, it's no secrets in the NBA, like in the league. It's no secret, especially on the team. And, you know, things always creep into the locker room. That's why you see a lot of times when coaches or, you know, teams are fluctuating, a lot of times it's never on the court. It's the locker room and kind of conversations of what goes on behind the scenes.
So whether it was in writing or not, the minute word starts to circulate through the Suns' locker room at the beginning of that season that there might have been some sort of ultimatum regarding Earl Watson and his agent and Eric Bledsoe and his agent, and they start losing these games by 48 points, 42 points, right? All of a sudden, it takes a bad situation, a horrible situation, and makes it even worse. It makes it a situation you can't live with anymore if you're the Phoenix Suns. Now, what's funny about this is through the course of our research for this, we found an old story from ArizonaSports.com.
Wow. Okay. This baffled me.
On the day Earl Watson got fired, you joined.
I don't remember this.
The Doug and Wolf Show. Okay.
Okay. So I was a guest on Doug and Wolf.
To talk about Earl Watson getting fired, listen to your quote. We wrote a story based off of this on our website. This is your quote. Quote, he went in there, he being Earl Watson, he went in there after one of the losses, I think it was the Clippers, and kind of made it an us versus management and ownership situation where he said, look, they only gave me 2 weeks to get this thing going. And he was always philosophical, and I think the players kind of lost him with that. He also told them, it's us against them. They only gave me 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then when word got back, they were like, wait a second. We never said you only have 2 weeks. What are you doing? So I think he was trying to create like an us against the world mentality. Part of that was us against Suns ownership and management.
I said that the day after he was fired.
Yep, you said that the day after he was fired.
God, I'm glad you found that, Jordan, because I don't remember. I don't have any recollection of, like, this story's been out there for a couple of days. I almost don't remember that I said that. But obviously, if it's in a story and that I was on Doug and Wolf and I said that. So I was basically at that time saying that Earl told the team that they gave him 2 weeks to get this turned around.
And that he might have been
and
using
it's us
that.
Against the, yep. It's us against them mentality, us against ownership. They're only giving me 2 weeks, that type of thing.
Yep. And that
so listen, I totally believe there was probably something said to Earl about his agent who was being a pain in the neck and wanted more money and more years for Bledsoe that they weren't willing to give him. And Ryan McDonough was the GM at the time, and he wasn't willing to give Eric Bledsoe a contract extension either. Not at that time. He had 2 years left, and he had knee injuries and stuff like that. It wouldn't have made sense for any team out there. So Rich Paul probably stirred the pot to try to get Bledsoe traded so he can get more money.
Yep.
Things got ugly, and somebody probably said something to Earl Watson. You got to get rid of your agent. He's causes us a lot of problems. And that's when Earl probably took it upon himself to say it's us against them.
We know Kyler Murray is in Arizona. He is visiting the Cardinals. Did he or did he not bring his agent with him? And does it or does it not matter? We'll give you the latest info coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Do not forget this week, qualifying you for Cards on the Clock. Text the word clock to 62620. Listen every day this week at 7:45, at 12:45, and at our show 4:45. We're going to call out a name. You'll have 9 minutes to call and claim your official Cardinals draft hat. You will also get a qualifying spot for the grand prize trip to Nashville during the NFL draft. Text clock to 620620. There is still time for you to register for our 4:45 giveaway. We'll give out a name at 4:45. That person will have 9 minutes to call in and see if they get qualified for the big trip. Again, text the word clock to 620620, and it's all brought to you by Cherish. Cherish 100% all-natural cherry juice. The question is, when this lucky person gets to go to Nashville and gets to watch the
NFL. Are they going
to
bring us back anything? All right. What do you want brought back from Nashville? What would you want? What do you bring back? You know, you got Kansas City, you want barbecue sauce. What do you bring back from Nashville?
Like something musical, right?
I think Gambo would look great in a pair of cowboy boots.
Yes.
I would ask for biscuits, but that just probably wouldn't last the flight.
Don't they have like the spicy chicken there?
The
hot chicken? Yeah, I know that's part of our promo. I think I've
never been to Nashville.
You know what?
It's a delight.
It's funny. Mm. Yeah, it sounds like a real party city. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray today is making his visit with the Cardinals. Now, the details are slim. There's not a lot.
But okay, go ahead.
What do you mean? The details are slim?
It's a meeting. I mean, I don't know that there's... I mean, it's a meeting.
Is it lasting? What are they going to do? What are they going to talk about? Is it going to be dinner tonight? Is it going to stretch into tomorrow? We don't exactly have his itinerary in front of us, I guess is what I meant by that, right?
Okay.
We know they're in town. We know they're meeting, but we don't exactly have the itinerary of Kyler Murray in front of us. The big talking point, at least on our show, has been the presence of the agent. Adam Schefter reported agent is here with him. You are reporting that the agent is not in these meetings with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
No.
He might be here in town, but he's not at the meeting. Is that what you're suggesting?
He is not going to be involved in the meeting with the Cardinals brass. That's not going to happen. They don't meet with agents when these players come on visits. Now, the agent also represents Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe he's like, okay, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll be here for you if you need me. I'm in the hotel room right down the hall. But I'm also going to meet with Cliff, just make sure everything's okay with him. But he's not going to be escorting, you know, Kyler Murray around the Cardinals facility and be involved in the film sessions and the chalkboard and all of that stuff that they do. So they are not meeting with the agent. The agents aren't involved in this stuff. He is here now. Like, he's here. I mean, it's like he is here. But the agent thing on that, the agents, look, he might be here to go over something with Cliff Kingsbury, but he is not involved in the visit with Kyler Murray at the Cardinals facility.
His name, I believe, is Eric Burkhart. Also represent Cliff Kingsbury in all this, which is some dot connecting that went on. Allow me, if I will, for a second to connect a couple of dots here.
Sure, go ahead.
If the agent is present for the meetings today, I'm just speaking hypothetically here because I heard what you just said about him not being at those meetings. If the agent is there for the meetings today, then some are going to look at that and perceive that the Cardinals and Kyler Murray are already talking about a contract. And if Kyler Murray and the Cardinals were already talking about a contract, then it must mean the Cardinals are taking Kyler Murray. And if it gets out 2 weeks before the draft that the Cardinals are in fact taking Kyler Murray, now your leverage to trade Josh Rosen gets minimized or damaged in that process, because now people are going to assume. Now, people might be assuming already they're going to take Kyler Murray. I heard, I was listening to Paul's call today, and he had a piece of sound in Paul's call. Ken Wisenhunt was on the Rich Eisen show, former coach of the Cardinals, and Rich asked him point blank, have you spoken to anybody in this league, coach, scout, front office exec, who doesn't believe the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray, number one? And his response, no.
No.
I haven't spoken to anyone who doesn't believe the Cardinals. So, whether his agent is there or not is probably not going to dramatically change the perception of anybody. But if you're the Cards, again, you want to be very careful about the perception of it being a done deal. The perception of, yes, this is what we're going to do, because then you might lose a little bit of your leverage when it comes to trading Josh Rosen if teams perceive that you now have to trade Josh Rosen. See what I mean?
The interesting thing on the whole, okay, if an agent is negotiating anything, it's usually about 24 to 48 hours before the draft. And the only thing you're really probably negotiating is stuff like incentives. Like, you know, we want to make sure that he can get this much if they win 10 games, or if he goes to the Pro Bowl, or if he starts this many. Because the contract itself is pretty much set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
These days. So there's not really a contract to negotiate. Not the first contract. The second contract, obviously, there will be negotiations. But the first contract is pretty much set. I think Bickley even mentioned it, you know, on his show before he bolted out of here at the end of the. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Did you notice that he hung around for like an extra like, hey, 60 seconds or so before he took off?
Came into our office, poked his head in there. See, I'm not leaving early.
I'm still here.
You guys.
Still here for 60 seconds, and then I'm gone. The minute you turn your back, so I'm going to walk out that door.
Oh, I'm going to run because I just lost 60 seconds. So I'm going to run down the stairs. Not even going to take the elevator because I lost 60 seconds showing you guys that I'm still here. No, he said, I think it's like 32 or 33 million with 24 guaranteed. Like, none of that can change. That's all set in stone.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot to negotiate. So people that have speculated, oh, he's here to negotiate. Negotiate what? Like what?
There's not much to negotiate.
How much he could get if he makes a Pro Bowl? If he starts 10, like, there's not a lot to negotiate. You're not coming in a month or 3 weeks before because you need all this time to negotiate anything. There's very little to negotiate outside of some incentives and things like that.
And again, that's reality versus perception. And the reality of the situation is exactly as you spelled it out. But the perception of it is, I read it on Twitter from Dan Graziano of ESPN. Oh, agents in town, they must be negotiating. This is a national NFL guy, right?
Right.
A respected national NFL guy who took the news of Murray's agent being in town with him and just kind of the perception of what those conversations could be like creates this reality for a lot of people where they assume that the Cardinals are now taking Kyler Murray. And you're right, there's not that much of a contract to actually negotiate. David Johnson today, he did meet with the media, the Cardinals running back, and he told Josh Rosen to ignore all this.
Oh, I ignore it. I told him ignore it. And I mean, I hear it all the time with fantasy football. So I definitely figured out how to ignore it. And I know he has to.
But this isn't fantasy football. I mean, this is real.
Oh, it's the same. And you can't, I mean, people from outside doesn't really know what's going on inside the building as far as the staff. We don't really know what's going on as far as what's going on and what they're talking about with the draft and anything. So come ready to play, learn the playbook, and let the chips fall.
Look at David Johnson being a mentor to Josh Rosen throughout all this. Isn't that kind of funny?
Sure.
Because I still think of David Johnson as such a young player, but he's been around this league for a few years. And then using the fantasy football as sort of a comp. For the noise.
Just to ignore it.
Ignore it. And he's
yeah.
like, no, it is the same. It's exactly the same. It's noise. It's noise. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Just come in here, do your work, go home. And at this point right now for the next 3 weeks, just try to avoid being out in public. Try to avoid, you know, putting yourself in a situation because, you know, you're going to be asked about this. People are going to try to track you down. People are going to try to get Josh Rosen on record to say something. So you've got a few more weeks. Just do your job, show up, work hard, and then be ready for whatever happens.
Yeah. We knew that if he was successful, his time in Tempe could be short-lived. But already? And St. John's? We'll talk about that and Bobby Hurley next on the Burns and Gambo Show. not even saying this day is here yet. I have no idea if he wants the job. I have no idea if he's going to leave. Not a clue. But the truth of the matter is that we all knew that this day was going to come one of these days. Bobby Hurley, speculation on other jobs, whether he was going to stay at ASU or
I've
not.
I've always wanted this day to come. And, yeah. And I mean this in the most sincere way. Almost every coach that ASU has had in football and basketball has been replaced because they were fired. I've always longed for the days that some coach did such a good job that somebody else wanted them because they were doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said that. I mean, if you go back through all the coaches that ASU has had in football and basketball, when the hell was the last time that they had a coach that was good at what he did that somebody else wanted to hire away? They wanted to hire this person away from ASU because he was doing a good job.
John Cooper.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
That was the late 80s.
I mean, late 80s.
Yeah, you'd literally have to go back to the late 80s
three
to find...
3 decades without having a coach that anybody really wanted?
Yep.
I mean, from Bruce Snyder, everybody was fired. Dennis Erickson, Bruce Snyder, Dirk Cutter, Rob Evans, Herb Sendback. I mean, every coach that they've had, I know Jordan gets a kick out of that, they've all got fired.
So does Sarah, actually.
You like that? That was my first time hearing that.
Yeah, you were looking
at... Send him back.
Send him back to Santa Clara.
Wherever he came from. No, to North Carolina State. Just send him back. I mean, it's the truth. I've been waiting for a guy to do a good job to where ASU, they had a coveted guy. And
yeah.
So, like, honestly, there's a part of me that I don't want him to leave, but there's a part of me that has been waiting for this for 30 years.
Chris Mullen has officially stepped down as the head coach of St. John's basketball. Quote, the past 4 years at St. John's University have been one of the most thrilling and challenging points of my career. Today I have chosen to ask the president of the university to accept my decision to step down from coaching as the St. John's men's basketball team. There was a report that he wanted to hire somebody and the school didn't want him to hire somebody, and it was kind of a conflict over personnel. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But John Rothstein of CBS Sports, and we had this on our show yesterday. This came down late in our show yesterday. John Rothstein of CBS Sports reported that the school is very interested in Bobby Hurley. He grew up, obviously, in Jersey City, which is very, very close to St. John's campus in New York City. He's East Coast legend, dad, you know, all of that stuff. I guess the athletic director at St. John's. Was at Duke for years and years and years. He was like the media relations guy when Hurley was the star point guard for the Blue Devils.
Speaking of media relations, guys, see Doug Tamarall last night when Pennant was cutting down the nets.
Was he standing there? Yeah, I didn't.
The ASU SID, is that his title?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Yeah, right there with Coach Bennett cutting down the nets. Yeah. Doug Tamarall, our own ASU's Doug Tamarall.
The question that I have, and okay, I think a lot of people have, is St. John's the kind of job that we're cool with losing Bobby Hurley to?
No. The answer is no. It's not a great job. And trust me, as a guy who grew up watching Chris Mullen and Walter Berry and Mark Jackson and Bill Weddington and Marco Baldi and all of those guys play at St. John's, going to Alumni Hall, going to Madison Square Garden, going to the Big East Tournament, it was once a storied program. It made it to the Final Four. It was dominant. They got all the best kids in New York to play there. Louis Carnesecca owned it. He had all the great players would come play at St. John's. St. John's is not what it used to be. It's in a better conference. The Big East is a better conference. They have a better television deal. The positives are how close it is to home, better TV deal. He knows the AD. Oh, and it's a private school. There are major benefits when it's a private school. That is one. But here's the things. Bobby Hurley has a $3 million buyout in his contract. St. John's would literally have to pay ASU $3 million. And then they're going to have to pay Bobby $3 million because Bobby Hurley is making $2.2 million. I believe that puts him fifth in the conference, fifth in the Pac-12. Now, the new guy coming in from Cincinnati that takes over the UCLA job, maybe he's going to get
Mick
more.
Mick Cronin got hired today, as the UCLA coach.
So Bobby makes $2.2 million. So ASU is paying their coaches more now. They're paying their assistant coaches more now. By the way, they're also chartering flights, which they didn't do in the past. They now charter flights, not to LA and not to Tucson, but all the other trips they charter their flights to. So his son is a sophomore in high school here, likes it here. I think that it would be difficult to leave this job for St. John's. I don't think it's a step up to go to St. John's. It's closer to home, and if that's what you want, okay. But it is not a better job. ASU is drawing more people to their games now, and St. John's is not the storied program that you would think Bobby's going to go leave for.
Fran Fraschilla, former St. John's coach, was on Bickley and Murata today and agreed with a lot of gist of what you just said, that Bobby Hurley has it pretty good at ASU right now.
I think Bobby's got a great job. I think it's a great place to live. The expectations of Sun Devil basketball are not extremely high, and he certainly has met those. You know, they've been a tournament team for a couple of years. You can argue about whether they should be better, but I think it's in a good spot right now. And unless he just feels the need to come home to the New York, New Jersey area, you know, I would counsel him to stay where he is.
Because he believes that ASU has simply better facilities and a better place to live.
St. John's does not have the facilities in many ways that, you know, a place like Arizona State has, especially if I hear that they're going to, you know, remodel or at least redo the inside of Wells Fargo, which definitely needs work.
Oh, it does.
I did a game there last year between Arizona and Arizona State. There's no doubt that they can upgrade the inside of the facility, but I can't imagine that they won't under Ray Anderson. So I think that I think Arizona State's a better job, actually, a better place to, you know, raise your kids and live.
Here's what I don't know.
Okay.
What I don't know is that when Bobby Hurley was growing up as a kid in Jersey City, did he always dream of being the coach of St. John's?
He was growing up in Jersey City,
did that team?
That was about the time that St. John's was a dominant program, sending guys to the first round. I mean, Bill Weddington was a first-round pick. Walter Berry was a first-round pick. Mark Jackson, first-round pick. Chris Mullen, first-round pick. You know, there were a lot of players that they had brought in to that team that made the Final Four that were really, really good, like really good players. And before that, there was, like, you know, Shelton and Billy Goodwin. And after that, there was Malik Sealy and Felipe Lopez. It was a good program. So when Bobby was growing up, it probably was the storied program, you know, that he was looking at.
And I'm not saying it's that way now. I know it's not that
it's
way
not.
Now. I wonder, and I'm just wondering here, I wonder if that's always been a job that even from his playing days at Duke, from his younger days as a high school player.
I don't think so.
Has it appealed to him for such a long time? No,
he didn't play there. He didn't go there to play there.
Duke was probably a better option for just about anybody at that time, even better than St. John's. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, for some people growing up, there is a job that they always dreamed of doing, right? I would love, when you're 20 years old, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a sports center anchor. I saw Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick, and that's more than anything. That's what got me into this business.
When you were 20?
When I was I wanted to be those guys, okay? So
I was working for the mob when I was 20.
Well, you probably aspire to that.
I didn't aspire to.
So when somebody comes knocking on your door and offers you the job that you always wanted from when you were a kid, that's got to appeal to you.
It's enticing.
At some core level of your soul, that's got to appeal to you. I don't know this about Bobby, if that was the job that he always wanted, does that job speak to him, especially if the money's good?
Times and circumstances change, and I'll be flat out. When I first moved here, I probably would have went, and I used to put this in my original contracts, that, you know, that I can leave if I get offered a job in New York at here or here. After a while, man, that wears off. Like, I don't want to go back.
Sure.
And I have my friends tell me, like, you're the lucky one. You got out. Like, it's not great. Like, it's taxes. It's hard to live there. It's a cost of living is expensive. And I mean, Bobby's gonna have to make a lot more money. You can live a lot better here in Arizona than you can in New York. Trust me. I have a lot of friends that are struggling. A lot. All my friends are. All of them. I mean, it's not an easy lifestyle. It's tough. It's a very difficult, even if you're making, you know, Bobby Hurley money out there, man. It's the hustle bus. You want to drive an hour to work? Because it takes you an hour to get to work. Now, you're going to live somewhere nice and you want to get to Queens? You're going to have to drive an hour to get to work. Man, it's a pain in the neck, man. It's so much. And here's the other thing about St. John's. Like, they were talking about facilities. There's no, like, I know that area. Like, there's nowhere to build. Like, there's no... They stopped building in Queens 20 years ago. There is no, sure. you can't build a, there's no room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's locked. There's no, you can't expand St. John's. You can't expand facility. Like here in Tempe, they've got all this extra land they're always finding. You don't have that in Queens. There's nothing, there is nowhere in Queens to build. You're stuck with what you have.
Look, it makes sense to you. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to Fran Fraschilla. I don't know what makes sense to Bobby Hurley. And I don't know what he... We don't even know if he's interested in the job. All we're hearing is a one-sided conversation right now. All we're hearing is that, hey, St. John's would really like Bobby Hurley for the job. I will say this, though. The one thing that makes me nervous about this a little bit, not that the Big East is anywhere near what it used to be. Pac-12 basketball is a mess. Is a mess. I mean, he had by far the second-best team in the conference, and he barely got into the tournament.
The Big East is a better tournament
for basketball.
And it's got a better TV contract. So that's one of the positives.
The Cardinals' preseason schedule is out, and considering all of the rumors surrounding this team, there are some potentially fascinating matchups out there. We'll tell you about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, truth be told, I don't. Preseason football, it's preseason. Starters are in for a series or two, maybe a half if you're lucky, if it's preseason.
We've learned our lesson over the years.
Oh, yeah,
Brandon Williams is going to be a star. My God, nobody can beat him one-on-one. He's covering, he's shutting down everybody. He sucks. We've learned our lesson.
We've seen backup quarterbacks come in and light things up, and we think, oh, man, that guy's great. Or remember...
Yeah, the battle.
Remember Drew Stanton versus
Blaine Gabbert
that one preseason?
Drew Stanton versus Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, God.
The first game is, we'll give the edge to Drew. The second game, the edge goes to Blaine. The third game, it's just like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to read too much into this.
So take this conversation not only with a grain of salt, but with an entire shaker full of salt. Okay, we're giving ourselves a lot of outs here. That being said, the Cardinals did release their preseason schedule today. I would imagine the schedule release has got to be coming soon. Usually I think it's like the week before the draft.
I was looking at historically when it comes out. I think it's going to happen around the 17th-ish.
Okay. So the 17th-ish would be about a week from now, right? Ish? Like next Thursday?
The 18th,
maybe?
Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's coming. It usually happens before the draft. That's got to be coming real soon. The preseason schedule we have in front of us, again, take this with a grain of salt. The opponents that they're playing are interesting given that we don't know where certain players are going to be for those games.
Three of them. And let's go over the most important one. They could be playing the Raiders. They're playing the Raiders.
They are playing the Raiders.
The Raiders could have...
On national TV, by the way.
Right. The Raiders could have Kyler Murray. It could be Kyler Murray against Josh Rosen in a preseason game on national television. It could be Kyler Murray against Josh Rosen.
Yep.
Very well could be.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Wouldn't that add a little drama to a preseason
game?
Sure. If just for a quarter
Absolutely.
Or so. Right?
Yeah.
That's a reason to watch a preseason game. Usually I have to like make up reasons to watch a preseason game. I'm not going to make anything up to watch that game. I'm watching that game if it's Kyler Murray versus Josh Rosen on national TV for sure.
The San Diego Chargers. Oh, I can't see him in San Diego. The Los Angeles Chargers. I fixed it.
No, you're not getting fined. Yeah, again.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
Have been linked to Josh Rosen team that could want to find their replacement for Phillip Rivers right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers are one of the teams whose names we have heard in association with possible trades for Josh Rosen if Josh Rosen's available. They play the Chargers. Oh, the Denver Broncos. By the way, Vance Joseph is now the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. He was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. He literally brought like half his staff and players over with him. So like there's four guys on the staff and there's like four players that he had with him. So there's a lot of former Broncos that would be involved in that game. Oh, by the way, the Broncos have also been mentioned as a team that could be linked to Josh Rosen. Right? Their names come up. Not as heavily as others, but their name has come up.
More of a distant cousin than a direct relation, but yeah, their name has come up as a possible landing spot for them. The Chargers certainly have. The Raiders, I mean, just by far, that's the most compelling, and I have to imagine that in part, that's why that's a nationally televised preseason game.
Because it could be...
It's got the potential.
It could be Rosen Murray.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got the potential. It's a Thursday night game. It's on ESPN. And if I'm some programming exec for ESPN and I'm looking at the schedule, I probably circled that one and go, you know what? Let's take a gamble. Let's take a gamble and put that one on our national schedule just on the off chance that Gruden does the wacky and trades up to number one. Which, by the way, speaking of which, saw another mock draft today. This one on Athlon Sports, which usually writes more about college sports and college football.
Yeah, they usually do a great preview guide.
But they did it. They dabbled in a mock draft as well, and they in their mock draft they've got the Oakland Raiders moving up to the number one spot to take Kyler Murray.
Okay.
We speculated this on this yesterday.
I haven't seen another team besides the Raiders move up to number one in any mock draft. I have not.
Neither.
I have not. I will say that out of all the mock drafts, and I'm not saying these are all great, but I have not seen anybody else move up to number one.
I'm looking at our handy dandy mock draft tracker that we have at ArizonaSports.com, compiled as always by our great staff over there. And I'm searching through it best I can, and I'm not seeing any, not recent ones,
right.
Anyway. So just, not recent ones that are projecting a trade. Yeah, no, it's still a lot of Kyler Murray. There's your boy Pete Prisco. He says Quinnen Williams number one. I know you think that's a no-go right there. You talked about that on
Quinnen
Friday.
Quinnen Williams will not be the number one pick in the draft.
So anyway, it's preseason schedule. The preseason games only have a limited amount of drama to begin with. But that Raiders game, boy, that one. The Chargers game, too. And the Broncos, they always play the Broncos at the end of the preseason. That's a standard now at this point. But that Raiders game, Thursday night, nationally televised. Very, very interesting, potentially. Today, there was a media availability at the offseason workouts. Josh Rosen was not made available. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Among the players who were, Chandler Jones was one. You know, he's lost like 25 pounds this offseason.
I read that.
He talked about that today.
I feel a lot faster, a lot more explosive. Last year, as you guys know, I started off at 280, and I'm about 255 now. I'm trying to maintain that, but I always put on fat going into training camp, so this time I'm trying to get more cut up.
Wow.
He lost the third. Is he doing the
30-10 weight loss?
Did he do the 30-10 weight loss with
Chandler
you?
Chandler Jones, Chandler, why didn't you tell me, man? We could have shared recipes and tips.
Exactly.
And
you could have had salads together.
We could have had salads. We could have gone over what kind of animal protein to eat at night. It would have been great. Man. It's worked fine for me. You know, I'm in playing shape right now. He also talked about how he's already learning from Terrell Suggs and that duo at outside linebacker.
Oh, that's going to be great. You know, I'm already learning some things from him now. Just the first day, even in the weight room. So it's just becoming a professional and someone to play at such a high level for so long. It's tremendous to have him as a teammate. And some of the accolades that he's gotten, you know, he was a defensive player of the year. He's been to the Pro Bowl a tremendous amount of times. The sack numbers are he's over 100 sacks in his career. So I've been picking his brain, and I'm glad to have him here in Arizona and glad to have him back home.
He even talked about how he reached out to Terrell Suggs before he even knew he was coming to the Cardinals.
I actually reached out to him before he even got here. I didn't even know he would be my teammate, but I asked him about his stance. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but he does this sideways stance that's pretty unique. And I kind of asked him, I said, what is that for? Why do you do that? And he told me, you know, to see the defense, to see everything. And I kind of took that. I stole that from his game even before he got here. So you might see us both standing that way on Sundays.
You know, you would think that the younger players are going to look at Chandler Jones, who's had so much success in his career and is, 28 going on 29, I think. And you may look at him and you may say, okay, I want to learn from him. I want to learn from Chandler Jones. And then there's Chandler Jones, who has a veteran guy that's had more success. I want to learn from this guy. So the fact that he still wants to learn and isn't content just being a double-digit sack guy, because he's had a lot of great years.
Yeah.
I like that. You got to continue to improve. You have to.
Kyler Murray is in the Valley. What is he doing? And what are the Cardinals hoping to accomplish from his visits? We'll dive into that in the 4 o'clock hour coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.